Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kieran Mack, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we get into the amazing amount of stories we have for you today, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and obviously hit that notification bell. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, there's a link down below in the description, which will take you to a vast array of podcast players. And finally, if you want to support the show, if you like the show, if you want to see the show improve and move on and upward, you can do so by a couple of ways. Firstly, down below, link in the description for buymeacoffee.com. And alternatively, and the easiest way, is to become a channel member, and you can do this by looking also down in the description, and you'll see a little link to the membership. It's 100 baht a month. You get some nice emojis, you get a little star beside your name when you comment in the chat or in the live stream, and you also get to see this video the second it is uploaded rather than at 7 a.m. the next morning, each and every morning. But now that that's all done and dusted, and I hope you like the picture of Wat Arun in Bangkok beside me. It's a beautiful photo I managed to get today, and I just wanted to post it there for you guys. But without any more talking, let's move on to the next story, or the first story. But what we are going to talk about is something that I obviously always bring up about this, and the road safety figures here in Thailand. So in case you're wondering, today bright and early, there's been today, as we can see, 25 deaths today on the roads. And this is, I'm doing this recording about 8 p.m. in the evening. So there's been about 25 deaths today and 2,403 people injured on the roads. That's bringing a total death toll since the 1st of January to 983 people killed on the roads. We're what, on the 22nd, 21st of January, and 983 people have been killed on the roads, with 55,237 injuries, about 85% motorbike, 15% car, and again, about 75% males involved, with about 25% females, and that's the breakdown. So, you know, the roads here in Thailand are dangerous. This stuff that you see each and every day is just, it's unbelievable. It just really is. And, you know, someday I hope I actually will stick my GoPro and start taking video of some of this stuff, and I'll post it online so people can see really the dangers that exist here in Thailand. But now that that's all said, we've gone through that, we'll move on to the first story, really. It's in relation to the land bridge plans, and they're causing, you know, a lot of people to complain a little bit about it. But PM Sreta Thavisin acknowledges concerns over the land bridge project, admitting a need for better communication with international investors and addressing worries among the Thai population about potential negative impacts. The visit to Renang aims to emphasize the project's significance to local communities. Now, critics, including the Rak Patau Network, seek a meeting with the PM to express opposition. A formal request has been submitted through Chumphon's governor. The government, preparing an environmental impact assessment, pledges to consider diverse perspectives and input before finalizing plans. Now, Deputy PN Bandia Nukara will discuss new development projects for southern provinces totaling over 750 million baht, addressing proposals from Krabi, Trang, Panya, Phuket, Renang and Satun. Notably, Phuket planned marina construction, while Renang eyes the renovation of the Renang Ka Tuang port. Now, you might be saying to yourself, as I was originally, what exactly is this land bridge they're talking about? Now, this dates back, from what I can read, this is 5-10 years ago they talked about this. And now again, this Prime Minister is bringing it up, and there certainly is merits to it. Now, the project aimed to reduce costs and time, improving trade flow by creating a new link between the Pacific and Indian Oceans. The land bridge will ease shipping congestions in the Malacca Straits, a major regional trade route. With an expected increase in freight traffic through the Straits, the project is seen as a viable alternative. And I guess that is why the government have been going out trying to get investors, because it's going to cost a significant amount of money. Now, the Prime Minister, Sreta Thavisin, outlined the project's details, including constructing deep sea ports at Renang and Chumphon, connected by a motorway and dual track railway lines. Upon completion, the land bridge is projected to reduce travel time between the Indian and Pacific Oceans by an average of 4 days, cutting transportation costs by 15%. So looking at it, you know, face value, it looks like a reasonable idea, a reasonable approach to things. As I said, it's been spoken about before. Whether it'll get the go ahead, whether it'll get the investors needed to construct such a monstrous project is yet to be seen. I do know, and I've read considerably, that the Prime Minister is out there trying to get people to invest. So it's something we definitely will need to keep an eye upon. I think they talked about the first phase being ready by 2030 and then it's completely finished by 2039. So God knows, will we even be here to see it? But we'll move on again to that next story. Now, stricter e-cigarette measures ordered as youth vaping surges. The National Tobacco Committee calls for enhanced enforcement against e-cigarette sales following a survey revealing a more than fivefold increase in vaping among teens. Public Health Minister Chanlan Serkao expressed strong concerns about widespread e-cigarette use among young people, citing the Global Youth Tobacco Survey's findings. The committee urges cooperation from various agencies to urgently prevent children's access to e-cigarettes, emphasizing policy tightening, enhanced surveillance and awareness campaigners against the harmful effects. Law enforcement agencies reported 136 cases of illegal e-cigarette sales last year. Dr. Tongtai Kiratodia-Korns notes a concerning trend of young e-cigarette smokers urging accelerated preventative measures to protect public health. The World Trade Organization launched the Stop the Lies campaign against tobacco industry's interference in health to safeguard young people. Now, the most interesting part about this article, which actually was taken from three different news sources, is that e-cigarettes are illegal here in Thailand. I find it bizarre that there's only been 136 cases of illegal e-cigarette sales found last year. It is completely illegal for e-cigarettes to be used in this country. Vaping and whatnot, you want to call it e-cigarette vaping, it's pretty much all the same. It's illegal under the law. You cannot. It's illegal to have one in your possession. It's illegal to use one. I see lots of foreigners here doing it. I see them on sale in many, many places. I mean, if you want to stop it, then you just enforce the law. I mean, there are laws behind it. But it's like everything in this country. We have rules of the road, which are completely neglected by users and by the police force many times. And again, we have rules here that seem to be completely just, you know, forgotten about. And that is one of the biggest obstacles I think Thailand has in becoming, as it talks about, a world-class destination for tourism and other things. If you have laws on the books and you see things that are vagrantly and openly being neglected, you know, so people are out and about in the street smoking e-cigarettes and whatnot, why don't you enforce the law? That's something easy to do, but they don't want to do it. And that's the bottom line. Now, of course, there's a whole other discussion, should they be legal or not legal? Should smoking be legal or not legal? I mean, you know, the basics is that we all know probably why e-cigarettes are illegal in Thailand. There probably is a lot to do with tobacco companies in Thailand and around the world who are trying to get them banned because they're taking a cut out of what they would have normally made. And of course, the youth are now moving to e-cigarettes thinking that they're somewhat healthier, which research is starting to show that they are not that much healthier and they cause some severe side effects. So I do think it's a case that Thailand needs to decide what it wants to do with it. And then if it wants to ensure that they continue with them being banned, then follow up with the law. That's why you have the law. The easiest thing to do is you don't go after the user, you go after the person who's supplying them. And it shouldn't be that hard to figure it out, because when I walk around, I see them in shops all over the place. So a copper walking by a shop sees an e-cigarette for sale, he goes in and they raid the place to confiscate them, if they're serious about it. Now, if you're not serious, you do what they do here, is just ignore the whole thing. And just to let tourists know, because a lot of tourists come here, e-cigarettes and vaping is completely illegal here in Thailand. If you're going around on the street smoking it and puffing on it, just to let you know, you're an easy target for the police if they decide they want to extort or want to fine you. Because you're an easy target. You are breaking the law and you're vagrantly doing it. So just a note for tourists here in the country. But I'd like to ask you guys, what do you think? Do you think e-cigarettes should be banned in Thailand? Should they be made legal? I'd love to know, you know, your opinion on it all. Of course, if they're made legal, the government could tax them and make more revenue, more income, because they're certainly not making it from the tax take in the country. But nevertheless, I'll leave that and that discussion to you in the comment section. Now, moving along. I think I mentioned this story a little bit yesterday when I was speaking about the Muay Thai fight that was outside Phuket International Airport. And if you want to know about that story or any, just click the little link in the top of the screen that should be there approximately about now. And you can read that story or go through that story and you can see what I was talking about there. But taxi driver probed after accosting a female student. Now, Phuket taxi driver Chuen Achapan faces potential 180-day suspension for harassing a 20-year-old student during a ride booked via the Bolt app. Chuen made inappropriate advances, refusing to stop the taxi when the frightened student asked. Her father repeated offers of 5,000 baht a month from Chuen. The incident, which left the student frightened, triggered a formal complaint and Bolt app submission. Chuen tried to apologize at the dormitory, leaving money outside her room. Now, investigations by the Phuket City Police and the Phuket Land Transportation Office include offenses of inappropriate language, improper taxi use, and potential damage to the country's reputation. I didn't know that actually was a law. If found guilty, Chuen could face a 180-day license suspension. The PLTO urges drivers to prioritize tourist safety during this period. Interesting to just talk about tourist safety. This is a Thai girl student going to back to her dormitory from wherever she was coming from. Broadly speaking, and to expand this story, basically she was in the taxi. He starts trying to talk with her. She doesn't really want to talk with him, but she's polite. You know, young students are polite. This guy's about 45, 46 years of age. And then he starts asking, do you have a boyfriend? Are you looking for a boyfriend? Do you want an older man? And it continued along this kind of thing. And then basically he starts with the, you can be my woman. I'll get you an apartment. I'll pay you X amount each and every month. But basically he's propositioning her for sex, if we're going to be frank and straightforward with it. Generally speaking, this kind of typical behavior happens a lot here in Thailand. They refer to it as a Mia Noi, so more than likely maybe this guy is married and he's looking for a woman on the side as well, and that's the Mia Noi, little wife. To be honest, it's just so inappropriate. And of course the girl asked him to stop many times on the way back so she could get out of the taxi. She was scared, she was frightened, she thought it was all completely inappropriate. He refused to. And this is where it all goes. So whether or not this is actually even, I mean, they say his license suspended for 180 days. Is there not laws against sexual harassment? Because that's what it is in essence, you know? And then propositioning a girl for money for sex. I'm pretty sure that could be a law too that has been broken here. So it seems that the wrong message is being sent out in terms of what's going on with a lot of these taxi guys. They, taxi mafia, in this country, believe they can do what they want whenever they want and get away with it. And that's the truth. Whether you, there's no agreeing that you think it's right or wrong, but it happens and it's continuing to happen here. As I said, when you look at what went on at Phuket Airport yesterday, when a guy assaulted another taxi driver because he said he cut him off 5 kilometers away. I mean, the mentality to follow him back to the departures lounge and start trying to kick the crap out of him, you know? Of course, what also about that story yesterday and something I didn't mention was, where was the security and the police in the airport? I mean, surely the airport is one of the most secure places there should be. So was there not police outside? Was there not security outside? Where were all these people? But in terms of this story and getting back to it, I think this driver is disgusting. I've seen and I've heard of guys like this that go around, and including foreigners, by the way, expats living here in the country have tried the same thing. Maybe some idea in their mind that all Thai girls are looking for older men with tons of money in their pocket and want to act like prostitutes. It's not the case here at all. If you live in islands like Phuket or in your areas like Pattaya, don't use that as the standard for the country in terms of ladies. You know, it's completely and completely wrong. But nevertheless, 180 day suspension? Nah, I think it should be. I think these guys should be a one strike, lose your license in terms of being a taxi driver, and significant fines to, you know, make them really understand and hurt them where it matters, in the pocket. But I'd love to know what you think about that as well. Now, another story, and I can't remember the name of the guy, but we had a guy a few months ago who was basically convicted for torture. We have another incident with the police, but investigation of two Andhra Pradesh police officers for alleged torture. Now, Thailand's National Human Rights Commission plan to request investigations by the Office of the Attorney General and the Committee on the Prevention and Suppression of Torture and Enforced Disappearance into the alleged torture of a murder suspect by two police officers. The suspect, identified as Pania, initially confessed to killing his wife, but was released after new CCTV evidence surfaced. Social media posts suggested police coercion, with a video showing an officer covering his head with a plastic bag. The NHRC accused Anur Patep police of violating human rights and manipulating the justice system. Two district police officers, including a deputy superintendent, are implicated in malfeasance. Further investigations will determine if the breached anti-torture laws. Separately, five boys implicated in the murder case and another gang of 12 youths face investigation for additional alleged crimes, including sexual assault and property damage. Now, let's wrap this case up, or this story up. That story is a little vague, actually. Basically, a man's wife was murdered. The police brought the husband in for questioning. They basically tortured him to get him to confess. I think it was 2 days, did all kinds of stuff to him. He eventually, under complete duress, lack of sleep, worn out, abused, you know, whatever you want to call it, coerced, he said he did it. Turns out then actually it was 12 to 16 year olds who killed her, or something along those lines. CCTV footage pulled it up. They actually have the police on tape admitting that they tortured this guy to get the confession out of him, and they have proof that it wasn't him who did it at all. And of course, he's obviously been released, but now this is where we've led to, is these guys. So, you know, this, I'm not going to say it's become common, but we've seen it. I think it was last year with that I can't remember his name now, the guy who was one of those big shots running around the place. He had all the Ferraris and everything and the thing. Another incident of it. All think they can get away with it until, but they seem like they're really dumb or something. They're all getting caught with pictures being taken of them doing it, and videos and CCTV, as if they think maybe the cameras aren't working or something. I honestly don't know, but it seems like they're just not smart enough to be able to actually do it and get away with it. Now, the poor gentleman who was put through that ordeal, apart from the back, now he's lost his wife who was murdered. He's then basically stitched up for the murder. For, you know, saying you're the one who murdered her, right? And this is what these guys are up to. This is the great police force of the country. It's ridiculous. And something needs to change in the police force. I've always said this, the Thai police force is not fit anymore for what it's meant to be doing. It needs to be a complete overhaul from the top down. And I do think it could happen, but I don't know when it'll happen, because I do think there are good people in the Thai police force who want to do good, who joined it for the right reasons. But there is a number of people who I believe are not and are out for personal gain. Now, moving along, another gruesome story in Thailand. Thai police to enlist the Indian embassy and help in a murder hunt. Now, Thai police will be contacting the Indian embassy in Bangkok to seek assistance in locating an Indian national suspected of involvement in the murder and dismemberment of a Myanmar man whose body parts were found in a freezer in the Bang Khun Tien district on Sunday. Police were alerted by a Myanmar national identified as Mai Ya A, who reported that one of his friends, A.C. Kai, had gone missing. He led police to a four-story building in Soi Khao Nham, 35-3, in the district, where police found a freezer on the third floor containing six body parts of a man whom Mai Ya A identified as his missing friend. The freezer was set at 130 degrees Celsius. Good Lord. Items found there included an electric saw, two bloody stained butcher's knives, and traces of blood in the toilet, where police believed the body was dismembered. Maya A told the police that he, the victim, and three others from Myanmar were recruited to work in Bangkok by Sudravel Prakash Kumar, 23, whose offices are in Sutapat Soi 44. Each of them were paid 22,000 baht in procedural fees to Kumar to be able to work in Thailand. Now, Kumar brought the group to the building on January 17. 2 days later, he came to pick up four of them, excluding the victim, to take them to work. Maya A spoke with the victim around 10:30 p.m. on that day and later video called Kumar, who appeared sweaty and hung up, suddenly after that he could not contact either of them. As a result of this, he went to the building on Sunday and found it locked. He then asked the building owner to break the lock. He then discovered body parts. Police Major General Napa Slip of Bang Tung Tien Police Station said they are investigating whether the five Myanmar individuals had entered Thailand legally. As for Kumar, police have discovered that he left Bangkok for Chennai in India on a 8:50 p.m. flight on January 20th. Well, it's good that the police certainly are focused on the right thing. A man is murdered, cut up, and they're checking to make sure that the Myanmar guys are legal here in Thailand. Hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, that's where they're at. But it's horrifying. And it just shows you the type of people that are entering this country and that seem to be in and around. It's not the first case we've heard of somebody's body being dismembered. I think there are some foreign guys that done it in Pattaya to a German man, I think it was, not so long ago. So it's really odd. You should really be careful when you're here in Thailand. You know, when you meet people, when you're introduced to people, who you hang out with, you know, take your time to get to know people here in this country, because there's some really strange and dangerous people here. And finally, we'll do a little bit of the Phuket and Pattaya news roundup. Actually, it's just going to be the Phuket news roundup, because I actually forgot before I did this to add in the Pattaya news roundup. But we'll do that tomorrow. Kuwaiti woman killed in a motorbike accident. A Kuwaiti woman has died after a motorcycle accident in Kamala earlier this morning. Another death on the roads. Tourists safe after lost in the dark at Lem Krating. Two tourists were found safe by the Rawai's municipality rescue workers after the two women became lost in the dark near Lam Krating on Saturday night. Lucky they were found. Now, Kratom juice vendor arrested. Region 8 police have arrested a man caught selling bottles of Kratom water and found with 315 bottles of the banned drink in his possession. Now, in case you're wondering if Kratom is legal, yes, it is, but doing that and making that is not. And finally, a Chinese tourist has died on Simeon Island. A 44-year-old Chinese tourist drowned while on a tour of the Simeon Islands north of Phuket on Saturday. Drowning while you're on Simeon Islands on a group tour is very, very strange, considering that you must wear life jackets. So I'll try to dive into that story the next day to find out a little bit about more about it. But nevertheless, that is it for tonight or today, folks. Thanks for tuning in as always. We'll be back again tomorrow morning, and have a great day. Stay safe and thanks again. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a news show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.